Good evening. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. God is helping me with a victory over lust and internet pornography. My name is Paul. So tonight we're on lesson 15, victory. So let's read principle 5 together. Voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. And the verse, happier are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires, Matthew 5, 6. So let's stop right there and look at that verse. The term greatest desire, what does that mean? What does that term, the greatest desire, mean? In my Bible, it reads like this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So when I think about greatest desire, it seems like I'm making a choice. This is just me, but it seems like I'm making a choice between trying to figure out, I need to switch my desires from whatever they are, like porn or alcohol or binge watching TV shows. So I'm thinking, how can I switch my desire and how can I make it what God requires, and how can I make what God requires my greatest desire? But so I've got to eliminate some desires and work up some desire for God and what He wants, and that seems difficult to me. But now think about hunger and thirst. We all desire food and water, and you don't ever need to work on a system for that. You just need to exist, and those things come up. Hunger and thirst lead to food and water, and we have hunger and thirst at birth. So in the same way that God created us to hunger and thirst for our survival, He also wants to make us want to do what He requires. When you accept Christ as your higher power, you are recreated. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In principle 3, we consciously choose to turn our life and will over to Christ's care and control. Then He provides the hunger and the thirst, which is from Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 5:5 says this, this hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's exactly what happened in lesson 5 called Turn when we made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as our higher power. Lesson 5 says that Jesus is the one and only higher power. So now let's read step 7 and that verse. We humbly ask Him to remove all our shortcomings. And the verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So let's turn to the lesson called Victory, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, with respect to Aretha. So we all want to answer this question. How can I have victory over my character defects? And that's what this acrostic is all about. Victory is a process. It's not a goal. You don't get victory and then have it forever. That's because we're stuck in these bodies that seem to have their own desires. And they draw us quickly back into our character defects. Somehow we've got ourselves connected to some habit or desire from the flesh. Mine was porn, is porn. I have to be working recovery all the time to keep this out of my life. I have relapsed. And if I don't resist the devil, and if I don't draw near to God, as taught in James 4, 7, and 8, then I can be drawn right back in. And that's why I say the victory is a process and not an achievement. So this acrostic takes us through a process for dealing with character defects. We need to keep coming back to this process all the time, daily, and more often. So, the first letter, V, voluntarily submit. The verse in the handout is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. When we work on the steps, we're working on ourselves. In step four, we made a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. And often, we're our own worst enemies, maybe because we couldn't even put a name to this habit. Or maybe we knew what the problem was, but feared writing it down, feared beginning to think about it. In step six, we declared that we knew what our issue was and that we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. The key here is that God does the removing, not you and not me. So now in step seven, we voluntarily submit to God and ask Him to remove all our shortcomings. We're ready to have God take over and start working on us. For me, this needs to be a daily process. We're going to get to one day at a time in a moment. But we need to be submitting to God and asking Him to remove our shortcomings every single day, and probably more often. Submit, submit, submit. And unless I do this all the time, then I find myself wandering away, and then I find myself in the beginning of a relapse. But God is standing by. That's why He gives us this promise in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess, He will forgive us and purify us. I don't seem to be able to purify myself. I have to keep coming back to His truth. So the I, identify character defects. We need a plan. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." So we have a list of shortcomings or character defects that we've identified in our inventory. Just pick one of them and start in by asking God to remove that from you. It's hard to tackle them all at once. Also, we need to keep making our list current. When you do the inventory the first time, it's kind of difficult, and we may not identify every defect. And finally, start out on one of these defects, but remember to allow the Lord to determine your steps. You may find yourself working on a different defect than the one you planned. Listen and watch for God's leading. C, change your mind. The verse in your handout is Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That phrase, the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world? 1 John 2:15, 16 gives a big clue. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Romans 12:2 is basically saying, don't be driven by the flesh, by the eyes, or by pride. God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He wants us to change the way we think. It's more than just changing our behaviors. Just changing our behaviors is like cutting the weeds off at the top but not digging out the roots. God pulls the roots. So we start in on that first character defect, and as we do, we need to change our mind. And Christ helps us with this change. I'll read this again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away and new things have come. So we have Christ in us, but we still need to make some decisions and make change. Romans 6:11 through 13 says it this way. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That is the transformation that God wants for us. And this is the prayer that I have, that I use most days. God, I present myself to you, and I present the members of my body as instruments of righteousness. And that doesn't always work, but I keep praying it. T. A T is for turning over your character defects to Jesus Christ. Don't rely on your own willpower or self-will. That has not worked in the past. The verse in your handout is 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Let Jesus do the work. James 4, 6, and 10 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Being humble is not weakness. Humility is relying on God. We've all heard, let go, let God. So let go of your pride and let Jesus take the wheel. Kudos to Carrie Underwood. The O. One day at a time. Recovery happens one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Or in another version says, tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In Exodus 3:14, God calls himself, I am. He didn't say his name is I was, dealing with the past, or I will be, living in the future. So God reminds us, I am here. And God told Moses, tell them, the Egyptians, tell them, I am sent you. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. Or, I'll say it this way, the love of I am has been poured out within our hearts. If I am is in your hearts, then I am is how we should live, one day at a time. As Reinhold would say, one moment at a time. And Jesus promises in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So R, recovery is a process. Asking God to remove your character defects begins a process that goes on one day at a time after one day at a time. We should rejoice in progress and not in perfection. God keeps on helping. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace, until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. Finally finished on that day. Finally finished when Christ returns also means not finished yet. God grant us patience until then. And finally, the why. You must change, must choose to change. Give up self-reliance. Place your reliance on Jesus Christ. But back to James 4, 6 through 8, God gives grace to the humble. So give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That promise is in James 4, 6 through 8. And when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. That promise is there too. When I feel attacked or tempted, I want the devil to get away from me. Get out of my head. And I want a changed mind that puts God first. And then I want God to draw close to me. And he promised he will. So remember, principle 5 says, starts out, voluntarily submit every change God wants to make in my life. We have to let God change us. We don't need to know the how or the when. All we have to do is be ready. Let's pray. Dear God, show me your will in working on my shortcomings. Help me not to resist the changes that you have planned for me. I need you to direct my steps. Help me stay in today, not get dragged back into the past or lost in the future. I ask you to give me the power and the wisdom to make the very best I can out of today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks.